Thank you. Good morning, everybody. First, I'm going to give you a background of this talk, and an outline of this talk, and a background of this project that we've done. I'll describe the background of the site, the contaminants that we found at the site, the risk assessment methods we used to complete this health investigation, the public health implications of our study, the uncertainty and data gaps that we found, and our recommendations and conclusions. So some background on the project. The Saltchuk Mine is an abandoned gold, silver, copper, and palladium mine. It's located in southeast Alaska. I think the next slide is a map. It operated in the early 1900s from 1905 to 1941. And in March of 2010, it became a Superfund site. And when that happened, that requires, all Superfund sites require a health consultation to be done. So our program, the Environmental Public Health Program up here in Alaska, along with ATSDR, we produced this health consultation for the Saltchuk Mine. And for that, we used data collected by the EPA in 2011 and 2012. So as I mentioned before, the property is located in southeast Alaska. I'm not sure about this Google line, but it's located on Prince of Wales Island near Kasan and Thorne Bay. So that's just across the water from Ketchikan for those who know Alaska geography. So Kasan is the closest community by water to the Saltchuk mine site. It's 10 miles southeast of the mine. There we go. The population is a real small spot. It's the population of 49. Most of the people are year-round there. It's about 53% white and 35% Alaska Native and American Indian. There is the organized village of Kasan. It's a federally recognized tribe. And their lifestyle, they do collect traditional foods, and that's a major source of the organized village of Kasan's diet. Thorne Bay is another close community. It's the nearest community by road. It's about 10 miles by road. It's over some dirt roads. There's a little bit bigger, 471 residents in Thorne Bay, and 92% white, 2% Alaska Native and American Indian. And judging from some community meetings that we had in 2013, there's a bit less interest from Thorne Bay in the Saltchuk mine site. So this is a very pretty site. It's on the coast in southeast Alaska. It's gorgeous. That what looks like a nice beach there is basically a pile of mine tailings. It's got a bit of a greenish hue due to the copper, but it's still a pretty nice place. And this is just a photo of the mining equipment that's been kind of rehabbed there. So the sample types that the EPA took and that we were looking at, they took samples of clams and vegetation, sediment and soil and surface water. These samples, they were sampled for metals and PAHs and PCBs. And we found that the contaminants of concern were arsenic, cadmium, iron, and thallium. So this is how we determine our contaminants of concern. We use comparison values. ATSDR calls them minimal risk levels. EPA calls them reference doses. I'll talk more about comparison values in a little bit. We also need to know how much people are consuming of these of the clams and vegetation. And for that, the best we could do was to use harvest rates. And we used harvest rates from the community harvest data from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And I'll be talking about that more in a little while. And then we used good old math to calculate the exposure dose, and we compared that with the comparison values. So there are several factors that go into the calculations to determine the dose that a person is exposed to from these contaminants. We look at the body weights for both adults and children. We look at the frequency of exposure, how often per year people are exposed, the number of years they're exposed, the absorption factors. Not all contaminants are absorbed 100% by the body, so some of the contaminants have lesser absorption factors, and we use those. and of course the concentration of the contaminants at the site. We also need to know how much food and water is consumed and dermal contact. So if people are getting sediment on their skin while they're clamming or water on their skin while they're using the site, we take that into consideration too. So a little bit about the harvest database that we used. It's a community subsistence information system by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. We used data from 1998 for both Kasan and Thorne Bay. That was the most recent data that they had. And ideally, we would have consumption data for both of those communities, but that doesn't exist. So we had to use harvest data instead. And in our health consultation, we looked at two different exposure scenarios. We looked at a traditional user exposure scenario and a recreational user exposure scenario. And so for a traditional user, we're thinking that those are the folks that may go to the site and collect clams and vegetation for use year-round for traditional and customary purposes. And for recreational people, we're thinking maybe they might go clamming maybe once a year, they'll go for a hike, they might have a picnic, but in general they don't use the site quite as much. We also looked at exposure pathways, so how contaminant moves from its source and enters the body, and the possibilities for that are ingestion, dermal absorption, and inhalation. And on the lower left is just a photo of the site. It's the upland area up the hill from the beach, and it's a beautiful rainforest. And then next to it are sea asparagus, and that's something that is harvested from the Salt Chuck mine site. So this is a little bit just quickly about calculations. We calculated the risk for both non-cancer health effects and cancer health effects. So for the non-cancer health effects, we looked at the hazard quotient, and that's just the daily dose that someone is exposed to divided by the comparison value. So if the hazard quotient was less than or equal to 1, we wouldn't expect that there be health effects. If the hazard quotient is greater than 1, then it's possible that there could be some health effects, but not necessarily the case. For cancer calculations, this is just the general equation that we used to calculate cancer risk. So it's exposure factor by the chronic daily dose times the cancer slope factor. And then we added all, for the total cancer risk, we added up all the individual contaminants that could possibly cause cancer. So these are some of the assumptions that we used in our calculations. We needed to know how much is the site actually used. And for this, we used some information from some community surveys that were done in Kasan over the years. That'll be the next slide. But for both the traditional and recreational scenarios, we assume that they visited 6 times per year. The number of years that we assume that people were living in the area was 40. And that's a 90th percentile residency time that we got from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And those are, you can see the pounds per year of clams and vegetation consumed for each scenario. And again, for the traditional scenario, we used Kasan harvest rates. And for the recreational scenario, we used Thorne Bay harvest rates. And we assumed that people drank 2 liters of water per day when they were at the site. So the upshot, just to mention, because it's fairly important in our consultation, is that these days the site is not used very often due to location and other concerns. And I was just down in this area last week at some community meetings, and that was just revalidated last week that they don't really use this site very much right now because it's quite inconvenient, and people are a bit worried about paralytic shellfish poisoning these days. So the community surveys that were done in 2011 and 2012, ATSDR went down and did some surveys. They found that until about 20 to 40 years ago, the site was used for traditional foods. That's still a bit of a question mark, but that's what we know at the moment. But what we do know is, as I mentioned, the site is not currently used. In 2013, the Kasan Environmental Coordinator did a survey for us because we were wondering how long people would use the site, how often, and that's how we came up with our 6 visits per year. They found that they would go between 1 to 6 times per year, and maybe for a couple hours at a time. And people eat the clams fresh, frozen, smoked, and canned. And so this is how we came up with our assumptions for our health consultation. So the punchline for our health consultation is we found that overall there's no appreciable health risk associated with harvesting and using the site for a variety of clams and vegetation. So that was good news to the community last week. They were happy about that. And one thing to mention is that when we looked at the arsenic content for the clams, we found that soft-shell clams had a bit of a higher arsenic content than the other clams, 19% versus less than 1%. But we also found, thanks to an Oregon study done, that most of the inorganic arsenic is found in the siphon skin of the soft-shell clams. So if one to remove the siphon skin before they eat the soft-shell clams, then there should be no more risk than eating just any of the other types of clams. And we did find from the community that that is how they eat the soft-shell clams. They take off the siphon skin first. So that was good news. And however, if one insists on eating the whole soft-shell clam with the siphon skin, we recommend that an adult eat no more than 7.5 pounds per year, and a child eat, how do we go back here? Let's see. There we go. That a child eat no more than 6 pounds of soft-shell clams per year. So it's a little bit hard to see, but down below are some pictures of the clams, and that's from the signs that are posted at the site. So of the contaminants of concern, we found that arsenic did not present a health risk. For non-cancer, the hazard quotient was less than 1 for both traditional and recreational users, and their cancer risks were found to be very low. Cadmium and thallium was the same story. This slide is a little bit of a mouthful, but the upshot is that even though the hazard quotients were found to be greater than 1, the comparison values that ATSDR and EPA came up with for both cadmium and thallium, there are uncertainties in these comparison values. For thallium, the studies were done on rats, and it carries a 3,000-fold uncertainty factor. So based on the uncertainty of the comparison values and the fact that people are not using the site very much anyway, we found that there should not be any health risk associated with these, with cadmium and thallium. Iron, kind of the only hitch with iron was that if a traditional user was to have a certain liver or iron metabolism disease, then they could be at higher risk if they're eating a lot of saltchuck mine clams. Because the saltchuck mine clams, they do have an iron high iron content, as do clams in general. And so those with iron metabolism diseases just need to be aware of that. And otherwise, we didn't expect any other adverse health effects for the other users. So our recommendations, we recommend that people remove the siphon skin before they eat the soft-shell clams. And we also hope that there could be some continued studies sometime that where samples of fish and shrimp and birds and eggs could be collected so we could get a greater picture of what's going on at the site. So here are some uncertainties and data gaps of our study. As I mentioned before, we were using harvest data rather than consumption data, so that's a bit limiting. Also, the data is from 1998, so it's still quite a while ago, and things may have changed. Current residency times may be shorter than 40 years. These days, people tend to stay in one place a bit shorter times than before. This is a 1998 number, so things may have changed since then. People likely harvest clams and vegetation from other sites in addition to the saltchuck mine, so they'd be being exposed to fewer contaminants. And also, there's only 6 soft-shell clams sampled from both the saltchuck mine site and the background area. So that's a pretty small sample size to base this conclusion on, but these are all the clams that the EPA could find at the time. We assume six site visits per year. There may be more, there may be less. We just don't know. So in conclusion, we don't expect any adverse health effects from using the salt chuck mine site. And there may be some marginal health risk if eating soft-shell clams without removing the siphon skin first. Anybody have any questions?